another Psalm of David, many of them. We've looked at different things in David's life, looked at different Psalms, and I don't know about you, it's been a blessing. God has shown different things, and you start to realize how much God mentions David, and if he mentions somebody that much that's not Jesus Christ, I think it should cause us to take notice. And I just love the fact that the Word of God is so deep. You know, you think about, I have been, I can't remember how many years I've been pretty regularly going through the Bible from beginning to end. But so, you know, after you do it so many times, you know that any given passage you've definitely looked at least, you know, a handful of times, if not many more, you know, in looking at lessons or other things. And then when you think about that, and then you get into a passage again, and you see, and God shows you something else for today, it's just more evidence that God's Word is alive, it's living, it's breathing, life breathed into it, and it, I tell you, we look at it, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves how old some of this is. It's, you know, this is 2,000 to 3,000 years old is what we're reading right here, yet it applies to us today. It's amazing what God can do with his word and through it. And so that's why I enjoy looking at it. But we'll look at Psalm 8 tonight. It says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for its truth. And Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight, touch my throat. Lord, help me to be able to preach. And Lord, that your word would come alive in our hearts and our minds. Help us to think about it, consider it, Lord, and that it would help us to see more about you. Lord, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So we look at this Psalm of David, and at the beginning we see right off the bat, he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And there's an exclamation point right there. And if you didn't know, that doesn't happen often in the Bible. We may use it a lot in texting, but that is not common in the Bible. But he is exclaiming how excellent the name of the Lord is in all the earth. But if you stop right here, and the sad part is, this is not true yet. This is a prophetic statement right here, because we can't say that in all the earth, God's name is excellent. We can't say that. There are so many people that use his name in vain, so many people that believe there is no God and everything else, but regardless of how bad it seems today with how people think about the Lord and the earth, one day this will be true. And that's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it exciting? Exciting to think about one day all these things will come to pass. And it makes me think of Isaiah 12. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. It's just kind of like this right there. One day the Lord, his name will be exalted, and they will sing about it, and they'll talk about his excellent things. But that will happen once Jesus Christ comes back to this earth physically. He touches down on the Mount of Olives. He gets rid of every enemy, and he sets up on David's throne there in Jerusalem. That day his name and his actions will be excellent, and it will be known worldwide. It's not true today. I wish it was true today, but one day it will. And that's exciting to think about it. The Lord's excellent name. And then you think about verse 2. It says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And if you see what that verse is actually saying, it is saying that even the praises of the smallest children are stronger than the strongest enemies of the Lord. If you think about that, how powerful that is today. We've been blessed here with so many young children in this church. And when they start to sing, when they praise, that stills the enemy. That's what it's saying. It silences the enemy. Even this morning, we were singing, Brooke and I were working, we had worked on that new song this morning, and when we got to the chorus, when we were singing it for church, Harper sang it so loud that for a split second it startled me playing the piano, hearing it that loud. And that little bit of startling, I thought as I read this verse, we can't see it, but the principalities and the powers of the air, the spiritual wickedness in high places, when these children and others like them sing out for the Lord and praise and worship, the enemy is silenced because of that. They're still, they can't do anything. And that excites me, because the more and more we get them involved and get them to praise and sing and everything else, it just goes to show how powerful our God is. There is not a demon, there's not a devil that can handle that kind of power when our kids lift up their voices and worship the Lord. That shows us how powerful our God really is. You know, Jesus quotes this verse in Matthew 21. He had just cleansed the temple, and the children are beginning to sing and beginning to praise him in the temple, crying loud, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And when they started doing that, the chief priests, the Bible says, they were sore displeased. It tore them up. They didn't like it. They wanted them to stop. And then Jesus answered them and said, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?" And Jesus was telling them right there, hey, they're praising me, and it's rightful that they're doing that. I know you're angry, but you don't understand right now. I am the one to be praised. And then he goes on, verse 3, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." And you know, the Bible talks about creation and talks about the glory of God in the heavens. And when we look up and we look beyond the atmosphere of this earth, what do we see? We see the moon, we see the planets, we see the stars. And you know, we can only see so many stars with our eyes. And of course, as they add more and more light around here, you see less and less stars. But then they built bigger telescopes and put them out in the middle of nowhere so they could see further. And I think they just launched another space telescope that pretty soon we'll be able to see further than the Hubble telescope. But even as much technology as man can muster up and send out there, we cannot see the end of the heavens. We can only catch a glimpse. And they say, hey, see that little dot right there? We know that's a whole galaxy, and that's billions of stars right there, and that little dot. And they say, we can't even see what's beyond that. It just shows the power of God. But look what it says. When I think about thy heavens, what's it say? The work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. It doesn't say it was the work of God's hand. It says it's the work of his fingers. Right? What's stronger? Our whole hand or just one finger? That's what David's trying to show us right here. If we would just consider the fact, he's trying to get us to consider the power of God, the glory of God, and he says it's the work of his fingers. And then if we contrast that with what the Bible talks about, the hand of God, Ecclesiastes 9:1 says that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Aren't you glad we're in the hand of God today? Aren't you glad he has us in his hand? 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Aren't you glad? This world is full of pride. They want to exalt themselves. But the Bible says if we would humble ourselves, God would take his big hand and he will exalt us. Praise God. And then this one, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, it's when the enemy thinks he's got the upper hand, when we feel like we can't go any further, when it feels like all hope is gone, there's the right hand of God that's able to lift us up and get us to keep on going. I don't know about you. Maybe you've never been in a dark enough place. Maybe you've never been in a situation with not enough hope, but I've been there a time or two in my life. And what happened when I reached my ending point? There was God lifting me up as it was nothing. And he said, hey, you can look out in those stars. That's just the finger work of God. But he said, I can lift you up with my right hand. Praise God for that. I tell you what, we need it, and he's got it for us. But these are just a few verses. It's throughout the Bible. God's hand holds us up. It strengthens us. And it will exalt the humble in due time. And all these things are greater in power than all the stars and the planets combined. And I would just stop and think about that for a second. And I'd borrow a phrase from Jimmy and say, what a God right there. Right? What a God. And think about who he is. But this is the verse that hit me. Was verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? So as you think about it, the more you think of the greatness of God, the power of God, the excellence of God, the glory of God, all of these things, you know what it should do in all reality? It should make us realize how small and how insignificant we are in comparison with God, how powerless we are and compared to God's power, and see if we would really take that to heart and really would understand the truth. Every little bit of pride we have should evaporate, and we should realize that God has all power, and it is because of him that we live and breathe and we can do anything. All good things come from him. All grace comes from him. Everything that we're able to do is because of God. And see, what should happen is we need to give glory to him for that. But I've read this verse many a times. What is man that thou art mindful of them? But today I stopped and I said, I thought about it. I said, what does mindful really mean? I think I've been reading it too fast. What does that mean? And I looked up the word mindful. It says to be attentive, to regard with care and love, to bear in mind, to observe, and to remember. And I thought, if you put all those things together, David is asking, what is man that thou would consider him, that thou would regard him, that they would think about him, that you would observe him, that you would remember him? And I stopped and I thought, David is, he is thinking about how small man is in comparison to God, yet the God of this universe, the God that hung the stars in the sky, the God that did all of this, is mindful of man. That should bless us, shouldn't it? That should get us excited about it. God is mindful of us. He thinks about us. He observes us. He cares about us. And he loves us. Now the problem is, if you stop right here and you go on any bit of social media and you watch any of the clips of a lot of preachers that are a little more famous and a little more trendy and seeker sensitive and everything else, you will hear in every single message, if you watch it long enough, every one of them will be man-centered. Every one of them will say, here is God. He will lift you up. He'll move you. He'll help you to do what you want to do. He'll make you feel better. You won't feel sad and everything. All of these things, and they'll throw in a little Bible here and there, but they make it all about themselves. That's not what David's saying right here. He is giving a comparison. He's saying, hey, look at how big God is. Look at how little I am. And he would even think about me for a split second. That's what he's asking right here. What is man? What is man? We're nothing. Yet he's mindful of us. He cares about us. He loves us. Sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we don't think about it. But here's David saying, hey, what? How could God, who's so big, and us who are so insignificant, how could he care that much about us? He's not the genie in the bottle, but he's the almighty God that's holy and powerful and keeps this universe going. And he is the one that still loves us and cares about us. David is astounded by this, and so should we. We should be the same. that he would not only be mindful, but look, keep going. And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him, that he would come and dwell amongst us. I mean, you think about it just for a second. This church, look, we meet here 3 times a week. We come in these evening services. We have less, you know, than Sunday morning. There's a handful that comes in. Yet anybody could come. We've opened it up. You know, if you want to come in, you can come to a service. But we just have a small group that comes, and you think about it. We don't have dignitaries coming in. We don't have presidents stopping by. You know, the closest we got was Obama getting corn on the corner over there years back. That's as close as we got. He didn't come by here and stop and come into worship. Yet, the God of this universe said, when just 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, even in this little church, even in the middle of nowhere, even with cornfields all around, and just a few of us, he said, I will be there in the midst, right in the center of it. And this is what David's saying, what is man and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? But I'll go even a step further. You get alone in that prayer closet, right? You get alone and study his word. And what happens? The God of this universe is right there with you. And, you know, when you're praying, there's Jesus listening and interceding on your behalf. When you're getting into that word, there's the Holy Spirit teaching you and helping you when you ask him to. And I'll tell you what, that we should stop and say and realize we don't deserve any of that, none of it. Yet God has given it to us freely. And this is what David is saying. He is saying, praise God. And that's what we could stop. If we put this in its right context, we could just praise God for the rest of tonight about that. That he would come and visit. That's why he's saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In fact, he says it in the beginning, and then at the end of he puts like an opening and closing of this whole psalm because of that, to remember it is the Lord that's the excellent one. And then he goes on a little further to describe us. Verse 5, for thou hast made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And see, you know what this world wants us to think? See, the Bible says, God says he's made us a little lower than the angels. You know what this world would say? If this world was writing this verse, they would say man is a little higher than the animals. Or today might just say we're equal with the animals, right? But God's not doing that. He'll deal with the animals next. He says we have dominion over them. That's the next few verses. But he's saying right here, he's saying he's made us a little lower than the angels. And again, and crowned us with glory and honor. Again, this is another pride-busting verse right here, because it's not, the problem is we could say, look at where we are, look at our position, look at our glory, look at our honor. Yet, we forget, he's saying, thou hast done that. He could have put us a lot lower than the angels, but he put us a little lower than the angels. You realize one day we're going to flip-flop, right? One day we're going to judge the angels. One day we're going to sing a song the angels can't sing. But he's telling us where we rank right here and showing, hey, whatever glory, whatever honor, whatever blessing we have is because it's been given by God. Then, like I said, he's given us dominion over all the things, all the works of thy hand, all the animals, whether in the air or in the field or in the sea, and all of these things that he talks about. And hey, the Bible even says something right there, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. I tell you what, when that was written, they didn't realize fish and different animals swim in different ways. They know that now with the technology that we have. They can track where the whales go to migrate and where the dolphins and everyone else goes and penguins and everything. But they didn't realize it back then that they traveled these circuits. But God knew. Right? That's just a little hint of where God knew everything. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Again, I'll remind us what we started with. We're not there yet, right? We're not to the point, but one day we will be. But the greatest thing is, even though we're not at the point where his name is excellent in all the earth. His name, the Lord's name, can be excellent in our homes, right? He can be excellent in our mouths and our speech. He can be excellent when we talk to people and say, listen, this is what God has done. This is what he is doing. This is who he is. We can do that today. And even though it hasn't hit all the earth, we can say, hey, I tell you what, it would blow some of the people's minds today if you gave them some of these verses. Some of the people today, they say, hey, don't you realize the animals have feelings and everything else? You know, you could say, hey, listen, we have dominion over them. Right? Not to abuse them or anything like that, but we're over top of them. You realize the devil's always trying to reverse everything, isn't he? He wants the animals to be above the people. Can you imagine if they set up a puppy abortion clinic? My goodness. Can you imagine the backlash and everything else? Yet with babies, it's okay. But I'm glad. His name's excellent. I'm glad that even with these children, their praise stops the enemies in their tracks. I'm glad that even when we look at the stars and the sky and everything that we can see, that he is more powerful than that. But mostly, I am so glad that God is mindful of us. We should never take that for granted. And it should always remind us of how low we really are. What a God. What an amazing God.
Amen.
And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's being mindful, right? When he thinks about us, when he cares about us, when he hears our prayers, when he's gone away to prepare a place for us, when he's coming again to get us and is excited about it, that is him being mindful of us. But then we should stop and say, who am I that God would ever do that for me? What a God. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.